Today on Real Radio.
No matter how hopeless and isolated and alone you might think or feel, when my heart is overwhelmed, you ever feel like that? That anxiety where your gut, your life is just shifting with vibration of pressure, noise in your head. You can't even think straight because the worry is affecting everything you feel and think and the decisions you make. You're overwhelmed. What do you do? You grab the Bible.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called How to Have the Peace of God When, begins in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, with verses 1 through 4. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote these verses with a fatherly approach, if you will. He prepared the church at Philippi for what was ahead while comforting them with God's grace and peace. We can't have joy without first having grace and peace. Grace is the divine influence upon the heart and unmerited favor. Peace is the prosperity of the soul and the quietness of the mind. When we stand fast in the Lord and His Word, we will find rest while being surrounded by God, our Defender. When our minds are stayed on Him, we can rejoice in His love and protection. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us how to have the peace of God when we've forgotten what we are. We must always remember that we are ministers of God. Division and strife can threaten the church, but God is for reconciliation, and He wants us to come together in unity. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
My mom grew up with nothing in life. She had lost her mom and dad at the age of 4, raised in a Catholic orphanage in Honolulu. She had nothing, and she was terrified of life. Whenever we were going somewhere, and I was a little kid, we couldn't drive by a graveyard. She would stop, turn the car around. Even if it was illegal, she'd do a U-turn in the street. What are we doing? You can't drive by a graveyard because the evil spirits will come on us. And I grew up with all that stuff. Nail biter, man. It was a nail biting kind of life. You know the stuff about a black cat and don't open up an umbrella in the house? Oh, that's nothing from where I came from. Anxious about everything. Worrying about everything. I'll never forget. Many of you have been with us to really the temple of worry in Caesarea Philippi in northern Israel. There's the temple of Pan. I'm not joking. You know Pan, you know who Pan is? He's a perverted, twisted god of the Greeks. He's that goat body with a man's head with goat horns coming out of his head. And the Greeks loved him. And that worship system made it into northern Israel. And you've been to the temple. We make sure we take all of our tours there. We stand up there and teach the contrast. And there's the place, by the way, it's the temple of Pan that Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the gospel. The gates of hell were known by the Jews as the temple of Pan. And the worship of Pan was so erratic, so crazy, so bizarre, because you didn't know what Pan was going to have you do next. I'm not kidding. That the form of worship is called panic. If you worship Pan, you panicked. You didn't know what he was going to do. And so, oh, we don't know what a capricious God, you don't know what's up next. And those who worshiped him worshiped in a form of where we get the term today, panic. Listen, as Christians, we're not to worry. When we worry, listen, I don't want you to worry about this. But when we worry, you know, worry is a sin. It is a huge sin. Did you ever repent of worrying? It's a great sin. Among many things, it's calling God a liar. Did you know that? It's saying that God is not all-powerful. It's saying that God doesn't love you. I read a psychologist, Harvard University, review on worry, and it turns out, according to Harvard, 8% of all the stuff we worry about actually happens. 8%. Isn't that interesting? What are we worried about? I'm convinced this. Listen, think about the stuff you've worried about. As a Christian, that 8%, it turns out it was a divine appointment by God to have me grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Oh no, 8%, that's still, the odds are too high for me. God's in the 8%. What if I have cancer? God's in it. He'll use it. What if I die? Well, if you're a Christian, you go to heaven. We all want to go to heaven, right? How do you think you're going to get there? I can't wait to be in heaven. God says, I heard that. How are you going to get there? Listen, let's be honest. 92% of Americans can take a pill to relax. Grab a martini or whatever you do. I don't know. The thing is, after it wears off, then what? See, the Bible tells us to cast our care. Listen, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter 5, 7. Go ahead and get this tattooed on your forehead. This is a good one. 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting all your care upon him, upon God, because he cares for you. Cast all your care upon God. What does that mean? That means throw it. The word means cast. It means to throw the issue upon God. I've told you guys before in the past, if you've got an issue in life, write it on a piece of paper, staple it to a pillow or something, and throw it whenever you're worried about it. Pick it up and throw it. Cast it upon God. We feel like somehow we've got some sort of control over it if we were worrying about it. That is one of the lies of the devil, is to get us to believe that we somehow control the situation if we're possessing and holding on to this worry. It will kill you. It makes you sick. It can destroy you. You throw it at him. Whenever we see in the Bible where the Bible says, for example, things like, Lord, I cry to you. You ever read that in the Bible? Lord, I call out to you. What is that person doing but throwing out their call for God to come into their situation? Write these verses down. These are better than a pill. Psalm 61, 1. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. Oh, isn't that good? Do you have any enemies? I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Friends, listen. Look at the verse again. Everybody, watch. Hear my cry, O God. I promise you this, if you ask God to listen, he's going to be listening. Right now, we need to change the destiny that we've been living on as Christians, that we are Christians, but we're Christian warriors. No, the truth is we need to change all that, and we need to start sowing and hanging on to the promises of God. The more prone you and I are to worry, the more we ought to grab onto verses that apply to this issue of life. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. And this is one of those verses, you guys, that is just so applicable for everything. It's so good. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or earthly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Supernatural things, invisible things. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Look at that. When you and I worry, we've removed the word of God from our lives and we've told God that he's not big enough. When we worry, we don't think God is ever in control. When we're worrying, we think we know better than what God is doing. We accuse him by worrying. We need to cast that argument down. Bring it. Look, he says, bring every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. What is that? Listen, everybody. Thought enters your mind. And what, you know, answer it for you. But what is it for you? When something begins to, and you know what it is, the Holy Spirit will say, this is not good. It could be lust. It could be anger. It could be fear. It could be finances. Whatever it is, it just causes you to panic and then you make the wrong decision. When that thing comes up, you know what you do? You grab it. You just say, Lord, I know what it's like if I don't give this to you right now. And I heard that verse on Sunday at church. And I'm going to do this. Lord, I am now bringing this thought under the captivity of Christ. Let me tell you something right now. If you're bound to something, please hear me. I am not going to get too honest about my life when I first became a Christian, but my life was bad before coming to Christ. And it took years to get victory over a certain area of life after becoming a Christian. And this act of 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 is what did it. When that thing would pop up in my mind, I would literally, there are times I would pull over in my car to say this, Lord, I can't get the pictures, I can't get the issue, I can't get the people out of my mind. In the name of Jesus, I'm bringing that before you. Cause me to hate it more than I do now. Cause me to fight it. God, just help me now. And I'm telling you right now. And you fight. And you leave it with him. 10 times a day if you have to. Christians, we need to fight. We need to fight against the forces of darkness, and biggest forces of darkness sometimes manifest in our old nature, tries to pop right back onto the scene. We need to speak this word of truth in the day of worry. 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. Listen to this. Perfect love, that is knowing his love for you, Christian, casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears, that is, worries or frets, has not been made complete or perfect in love. So what does that mean? It means if you pause to realize there's no fear in love. Number one, if you're fearing something, God's not in it. You understand the difference between bad fear and good fear. Okay, if there's a lion running around the parking lot right now, that's good fear. Okay? I fear snakes. I hate snakes. I don't care if it's a rubber snake. I hate it. That's a good fear. But when something comes into my life and it's like, hey, man, you ought to worry about this. There is no fear in love. This ain't from God. We need to start learning how to put some of the voices that are in our heads in a headlock. We can say, well, this is really cool in my life. It's really great. I mean, you know, this is really, and it's, listen, it could be wonderful. But if we mismanage it, it can be a disaster. And we need to grab that thought and put it in the right place. What about this? Speak this truth in the day of trouble. Psalm 107, verse 6. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Oh, that's good. Whew, I need that. Speak this truth in the day of fear. Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And all God's people said, amen. Grab that verse. You have to grab that verse. You I'll remember. Grab it. Write it down. Make it yours. Because fear will come to us. You either freak out and panic in life, because the Lord is not on the throne. Or if you have peace in the midst of a storm, it's because you've got someone to cast your cares to. What is it for you? What is it for us? Speak this truth in the day of discontent. Hebrews 13:5 says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Isn't that great? Don't love money. Love God. He'll take care of you. People worry about money. And then he goes on in verse 6 and says, but in everything, the word demands presently, but in the present situation, in everything, watch the vehicle, watch the mode, the avenue, by prayer, by supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Church, three key things about prayer. This is biblical prayer. Number one, by prayer, everything in our lives is to be dealt with by prayer. Everything. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. I had a family member years ago say, Jack, I don't bother God with the little things in my life. Only the big things. So you think about that for a moment. Number one, I don't think in my life there are any little things. And then on the flip side, there are no big things to God. Excuse me, God, I'm coming to you now because this is the big one. If God cares about the sparrow that falls to the ground, there's nothing big to him. You see how weird we are? Oh, I'm okay, I'm doing all right. How are you doing? I'm doing fine. And then something happens. Oh, that just tipped the scale. This thing just rolled down over into, it's a big one. No, listen, in everything. Watch, the word means this. In fact, proskuneo is the word for worship or to listen, to lick the hand. It's a word for a puppy that licks your hand. Proskuneo is the word to worship. This word, proskuneo, is rooted in worship. This kind of prayer is worshipful prayer. Listen, it means this. It means to oratate or to speak it. Some have said in the ancient world that it meant chapel, to oratate, to speak, orator, in chapel. It means to tell. This word prayer is to, in a worshipful way, structure your prayer to tell God. Speak it. Supplication. The word means to make petition. This is where you make request. The word is to appeal to heaven or to ask God. So you speak for others, or you speak regarding an issue. You speak for your nation. You speak for your family. And then the word thanksgiving. You're to do all of it with thanksgiving. This is amazing. Watch this. This word means to express with gratitude. It means to actively appreciate and to take what is before you and to thank God for it. It means to go public with thanks for God. So church, watch this. If we're going to pray right, we're going to approach God with thankfulness. Doesn't the Bible say, enter into his courts with praise? Think of this. We will supplicate, that is, we'll pray for the situation. And that entire act of worship, that prayer, gives honor to God. Did you know that? So how can my prayer to God honor him? Well, I tell you what, do you have kids? Do you have grandkids? It's better with grandkids. Your kids come to you and they say, Dad, can I have $5? And you want to give them $5. You just don't trust them with it. When you have grandkids, if they ask for $5, you give them $10 and you don't care what they do with it as long as they're happy. When you have kids, they can't have ice cream at night and chocolate. When you have grandkids, it's an act of God to have right before bed, popcorn, ice cream, and chocolate. It's what you do before you go to sleep with grandkids. When the kid asks, Jesus said, come on, you guys, you're all a bunch of evil people. He was talking about human nature. You're all a bunch of evil people. When your kid comes to you asking for a piece of bread, do you give him a rock? Of course not. God is honored when you come to him. Well, Pastor, I'm not going to bother God with my issues. You know what you're saying? You are absolutely so self-reliant and arrogant that you think that you are keeping your life together? You think you've got the answer? Can you imagine a 3-year-old or a 1-year-old walking up saying, hey, Dad, I got it. I'll do this diaper detail myself. I got it from here. I don't need you. It's an insult to God. He wants to hear from you. And when you come, listen, many of you know in various prayer meetings over the years, we have an acronym that we love using. It's ACTS, like the book of Acts. When you go to prayer, you might think, well, what do I do? Remember the acronym ACTS. A stands for adoration or to adore him. First things first. Let me tell you something. When you come and you say, Lord, I'm coming before you this morning, and you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You're the first and the last. You are the Almighty. You are the one who was, who is to come. You are the bread of life. You are the living water. You are the light of the world. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are righteous. You are light. You are hope. You are love. You are faithful. You are merciful. You are kind. I adore you, God. Listen, let me tell you something right now. When you approach God in prayer first that way, 50% of what you're going to talk to him about begins to evaporate or get really tiny. Because emotions will tell you on the flip side, it's such a huge problem, oh my goodness. Sometimes people will say, Pastor, when you need to pray for me because this is what's going on. I just went to the doctor, and they start talking about this thing. And I honestly, if you've ever done that to me, you remember, you know what I've done. I've said, I hear you, and you're saying, I've got this thing, and it's in my brain, and it's going to be, and it's this. And I just say, stop, stop. God knows, if you tell me anymore, I won't be able to pray in faith because I'll be overwhelmed. I don't want to know the details. Number one, I can't do anything about them. I'm not a doctor. Number two, the doctor knows everything. So just let me pray for you about it. That's why you tell a little kid, if you have a little kid in your life, say, hey, listen, pray for me. And the little kid will go, hey, God, he doesn't feel good. Fix him. Watch, little kids. My grandson just did this. Fix him. Amen. And he goes, you're better now. Is that faith? Always get a little kid to pray for you. Adore him. Next word, C, acronym, confession. Make confession. In light of that, now look, adoring his majesty, now you might have confessed two things, but now you wind up confessing 20 things. Because your life, in light of his grandeur, you realize, I'm just a worm. And you confess. God, I shouldn't have had that thought when that guy cut me off on the freeway looking at the sunset. T, thanksgiving. God, I thank you to show you how much you and I need to work on this. In the count of three, think of three things that you're thankful for, just in your head. One, two, three, think. If there was a in that, you need to really, really think about being thankful. Think of that. Thank you, God. Think of the things that God has done for you to thank him for. And you thank him. And then S, supplication. Now you're ready to go and to pray for those that you love and those that you know about and those of your own life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How to Have Peace with God When. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that the peace of God fills your heart and mind and that you rejoice always in God's truth. Hey, you know, around here at Real Radio, we work real hard to provide tools and resources to help you grow in your walk with God. And we think you're really going to like the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. It gives you tons of resources right there at your fingertips. This ministry, quite frankly, values your time, and hopefully you do too. So why don't you use some of that time with the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet? Tons of video and content available for you, like the Real Life TV broadcast, the Real Radio daily audio broadcasts, and Pastor Jack's weekly devotions right there. I hope you already have the Real Life app on your smartphone or tablet, but if you don't, go to your app store and get it, the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. You know, a lot of our Real Radio listeners like to take their walk a little bit deeper, and one of the best ways you can do that is to get the special devotions from Pastor Jack once a week. If you sign up for the devotional newsletter, you can get his devotions sent straight to your email. So it makes it convenient. You don't have to have any reminders or anything like that. Or even better, why don't you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet and access the devotions right there. Make Pastor Jack's devotions a part of your week by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then click right there on the Devotions tab. Get the Real Life devotions from Pastor Jack and take your walk with God to an even deeper level. By the way, did you know that Pastor Jack has over 500 videos on YouTube? Lots of content available for you. Simply go to youtube.com and search Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Maybe you can watch a message or two that you might have missed. Now, there are weekly teachings, real life programs, special messages and events, intro clips to Christianity. Really, anything that Pastor Jack wants to share with us is available right there for you on YouTube. Don't forget to set your notifications up so that you can know when Pastor Jack has posted some new videos for you. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.